Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome and thank you for tuning into In the Arms of the Angels, hosted by Dr. Kai McNeil on Spiritual Connections Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to another great night on Spiritual Connections Radio. And you're listening to Dr. Connie in the Arms of an Angel. And with that, I'm going to put Dr. Connie on in a second. I just want to let you know that if you want to call in for questions or readings or guidance, you can call in at 646-716-9663. And with that, Dr. Connie, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you. Welcome, everybody. At the half hour, I will be doing angel card readings, and I would very much love for you to give me a call. This is an opportunity for the angels to speak to you directly. Angel cards are loving, gentle messages and guidance from the angels, and I find them to be uplifting. I find them to be empowering. I find them to be insightful. So if you are interested in having a reading, you can call toward the half hour, and we'll get you on the air, and you can ask your questions, and the angels can do their thing. My web address is www.drconniesays.com. Please feel free to give my site a look-see, and there is a link on there for you to contact me via email. And I've been thinking recently that I would really like to hear some of your accounts with the angels. It helps other people to know what happens when people speak with the angels, because some people will say, well, gee, I had that same experience. I didn't realize that that was an angel speaking to me. So I would really love to hear from you and hear about your accounts. What I was going to do tonight was let you know what things you can expect when you hear from an angel, or when you get a message from an angel. I had a individual that I was speaking with recently, and they said, I saw my angel, and they were so depressed, and they were dressed in these run-down, ragged clothes, and they were tired, and they were overworked, and they were... So that is definitely not a message from a angel from God. So I wanted to give you just an idea of what you might expect if you were to get a message from the angel. And I'd like to thank Doreen Virtue for putting a lot of really great material on angels together. And I love reading her work and using her work, because she's just spot on when it comes to dealing with angels. So when you have an encounter with an angel that involves your feelings, what you might find is that you're feeling very warm and very loved, and almost like a hug. There have been several times as I have gotten closer and closer to the angels that I can actually feel wings encircling me and holding me in times when I've been lonely, in times when I've been afraid. And it's a really beautiful, loving feeling. And when you get a message, a loving message from the angels, it's absolutely unmistakable. The peace that you get and the love that you get and the uplifting feeling that you get is really nothing that we as humans can manufacture. So when you feel that, you know you're in the right place. They also make you feel very, very safe. you can maybe even get a sense of a loved one that has passed away. I was speaking with a friend of mine who lost her son to cancer, and she said, when you get to the other side, I need to know that you're safe, and I need to be so sure that it just feels like that you're, you're just an itch under my nose. I have to be able to know that you're okay. And she was driving down the road a few weeks after his death, and his favorite song came on the radio, and the area just above her upper lip began to itch. And it took her, she was a little annoyed by it, and she couldn't figure out why her lip was itching so much. And then she remembered telling her son, let me know you're okay, and I want to know, like it's an itch underneath my nose. So when you get something like that, sometimes our loved ones from the other side do come back in an angelic way to meet with us. It may feel like someone is touching your shoulder, touching your hair. You may get a really deep belief that, yeah, this is right. This is the way that the angels and love and peace should feel. What you will not experience is feeling cold and prickly. If you feel afraid or panic, if your heart starts to race, if you get sweaty palms, something like that, then you know it's not a true angelic experience. The room could feel ice cold. You could suddenly have the feeling that you're all alone. So when it doesn't feel right, and you know in your heart and you know in your gut that, man, this just doesn't feel good, then you pretty much know that it's not a true angelic experience. And it will not feel familiar. The angels are part of us. We've hung out with the angels in multiple lifetimes, and in the times when we're not in our bodies, when we are with the angels. So there's a sense of familiarity with the angels, and when it's not a true angelic experience, it just won't feel right. If you're having thoughts, if your angelic experience is a thought, the ideas that come into your head are consistent and they're repetitive. So what you might experience is something. It could be very 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 mild. For example, go write that letter. Go buy that book. You really should see the doctor. You should get your tires checked. And it will be just a thought that comes into your head over and over again. And when you experience that, it's probably a good idea to heed it. The thoughts are positive. They're empowering. They're centered around how you can solve a problem or how you can be of service to somebody else. They'll make sense. They'll be consistent with your interests or your passions or your talent. So I have really no passion at all to bungee jump off of a bridge. So I can tell you right now that if I get a message in my head that tells me to go bungee jump, I know it's not from the angels. So one of the ways that you know that the guidance is not from the angels, when you're having thoughts that are random, they're ever-changing. So one day you want to the angels are telling you to be a banker, and the next day they're telling you to be a CPA, and the next day they're telling you to be a business person, then you pretty much know that that's not an angelic message. If the theme around your thoughts are how to get rich, how to be famous, how to get a lot of money, how to, you know, be popular with the in crowd, that's not what the angels are all about. So you can pretty well bet that that's an ego message and something that yourself is telling you. If your thoughts are abusive, if they're discouraging, if they're the worst case scenario, if they're depressing, anything along those lines, you can pretty well bet that it's not a true angelic message. One of the ways that I generally hear the messages is I can hear the voices. And the voice sounds like mine. So it's not like you have to hear a deep bass voice or a high-pitched voice or something. It could really sound like your own voice. And the way that I know is all of a sudden the thoughts that I'm having and the voices that I'm hearing are, instead of saying I need to go find my keys, it's you or it's we. So when you get, it's a slight shift in the way that you're hearing it, and it will be, we love you very much, we are here for you, we want to guide you. It's those kind of messages, those kind of thoughts, but it's always in a plural sense, and it's not in the first person sense. It's like somebody else is talking to you, even though it may sound like your own voice. The messages could be an immediate concern or question that you have. It may ask you to take immediate action about changing your thoughts, about an attitude to be more loving. You may just hear just two words. You may hear forgive and then somebody else's name. You may hear the angels are not very wordy. They can genuinely and generally say what they need to say without a lot of talk. So the messages are brief, but they're very powerful. You'll know that you're getting false guidance if the messages contain a lot of the word I. If it really feels like you're talking to yourself, and we've all done that. Where did I put, or man, I really need to go, and there's a difference in the angelic cadence and the tone of their voice and when we are talking to ourselves. There, you can also see angels' messages. You could have dreams of being visited by angels. Some people see sparkles, they see flashes of light. Sometimes it's just in their peripheral vision. Some people have actually gone to the doctor and thought there was something wrong with their eyes before they realized that it was actually the angel's presence that they were experiencing. You could find repetitive instances of seeing or finding feathers, finding coins, number sequences. You may see the numbers 444 several times during the day. And when you see an angel, you can actually get answers to prayer, even visually. I knew of a man by the name of Stanley who did not have enough money to feed his family and would actually go out and find coins. He would make it a point to walk to the store looking down on the ground, looking for coins. And by the time he got to the store, he would have enough money to buy food for his family. So when you see or hear or think these thoughts or these visions or these feelings, you're seeing miracles and you're seeing something very powerful. And it's something that we all get to pay attention to, because the messages can be so slight that we can miss the messages. And if we miss the messages, we've missed a beautiful opportunity to commune with the angels. Mark, which way are you? I sort of hear the voices in my head. How do you do it?
Well, you know, lots of times it had started for me with simply being able to, I guess initially when I was doing healing work, I noticed that I could feel a presence in the room. And when I would ask my higher self or my guides, you know, what is this I'm feeling? I got an answer back right away that said, oh, well, that's Archangel Michael. And it was funny because even to this day when I do healing work on people, I have different types of archangels that come in, and I actually have to go to the book and look it up and find out why that archangel is there. And, you know, I'll look it up and I'll see there's a very specific purpose on normally why that angel will come in. And sure enough, I'll find out after the fact from the client or the patient that they had a specific thing that was related to that. Of course, I didn't know that going into it because I don't like to know a lot of information before I work on somebody. And I would find out, oh, and you get that validation of, okay, this angel is in charge of blockage or, you know, hurdles or, you know, some type of, you know, abuse, like alcoholic abuse or something like that, and something they're trying to overcome. And then you see a very specific angel coming in. I think after a while, what I noticed is that when I would communicate with angels, it was more about being able to try kind of just hear the voice in my head and say, you know, I'm getting this connection with this angel. I would ask the angel a question. I would get an answer back. It would come back in my own voice. And I think it was that time period where I was kind of on the fence going, well, is this really just my ego or my inside voice inside my head that's just answering me? And if you get enough validations, you recognize that it's like, no, this is actually information you're getting. And lots of times it's just information that I don't understand at all, because it'll be talking about something that I have no history or background or knowledge about.
Yeah, I like what you said about the validation. There was a couple of things I was going to say about that. One was, I don't really visually see the angels. I get these images, but it's not really crystal clear. And any time that I had the thought that Archangel Michael was there, the only thing that I could see was the sword, but it wasn't his sword. All I could see was, it was like light. It was like if you take a knife or something bright metallic and you put it toward the sun, how the sun glares off of the metal. That's all I could see. And then as I was doing further reading, it was saying, well, Michael's light was really, or Michael's sword was really like a light or like a lot of energy. So it validated for me that I was actually seeing what I thought I was seeing by realizing that the light of the sword was actually the how his sword presents itself anyway. So I had another experience where it's okay to ask the angels for proof or a reassurance that what you're, who you're talking to or or the question that you have is really going to get, that you're really talking to an angel. And I was concentrating, and thought I was talking to Archangel Gabriel. I could see the kind of outline of the robe he was wearing, she was wearing, excuse me. And I said, if this is really you, could you give me a sign? And I sat there for a while, and nothing happened. And I thought, okay, this is really dumb. And I sat, and I really tried not to push it, because I knew the more I forced it, it wouldn't happen. And then all of a sudden, I started smelling flowers. And without there being any flowers in the room. And one of the ways that the angels can present themselves to you is through smell, as well as touch and other things that we've talked about. So it's okay if you're unsure, because the angels are very much wanting to let us know that they're there. So they're certainly not going to get offended if you ask for, some sort of a sign that it's from them. Just to kind of wrap up what I was talking about, there's again four ways that the angels get messages and communicate with us. One way is going to be the primary way, but then of course they'll always use other ways to communicate. But one way is you could be clairvoyant. If you are clairvoyant, then you see the angels through visions. And this would be that what you see mentally or with your physical eyes. It could be dreams. It could be signs like the coins or the feathers or something like that. It could be, again, the flashing or sparkling lights. It could be number sequences. So if you primarily get your messages from the angels through visions, then you are clairvoyant. If you get your messages through your feelings, you're clairsentience. And when you are clairsentience, the emotions could be spontaneous. Just out of the blue, you'll feel joy or excitement. You'll feel some sort of a physical sensation that's just different than what you feel in the physical world. You may feel suddenly warm. The air temperature or air pressure may change. You may sense a spiritual presence, like if someone was touching you or holding you. You could smell flowers, smell smoke without any sort of physical origin. So if you have that primary means, then you are clairsentience. You can be claircognizant if you are one of these people that you just, you know that you know, but you don't know how you know. You just have that feeling and the idea that you just know. You are able to fix things without instructions. My uncle was not who couldn't read, and he would all of a sudden just get an idea out of the blue, and he'd say, "Oh, I know exactly how to fix whatever it was he needed to fix," which was the angels coming to him. You could have wise words come through your speech or your writing, almost as if somebody else is writing it or giving you great ideas. So if you're having this very clear thinking, it's claircognizance. If you have clairaudience, it's that the angels come to you through sounds. You can hear your name being called. You could hear music. You could hear the angels' voices you can hear high-pitched ringing. So that kind of idea. So again, there's no wrong way, and one way is not any better than the other. So it's just important to know that the angels do speak with us and want to communicate with us all the time. So, Mark, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. It is interesting because I think for every individual, there's going to be a unique way that they can make that connection. I think there is the common signs that you see. It is interesting. I think for me, there's always been a block for me personally where it's kind of like I don't truly believe anything, and I always tell the angels or my guides or anything and be like, well, you got to give me a sign. It's got to be a sign I'm not going to miss. And I don't know if that's a common problem that a lot of people have in their heads, is that it's like, you know, I'm not seeing a lot of the common signs. So, I kind of almost ask them to drop a brick on my head so I can figure it out. So.
Yeah. Mine's always make it so big that even I couldn't miss it. Yeah. I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
And it's not a lack of faith, really, if you're, because it's new communication. If I had a friend that I was wanting to have a better relationship with, I would want to make sure that I was communicating with my friend and that I understood that I was speaking in a way that they understood. So you're certainly not, again, bothering the angels when you ask for a sign. Just be sure that you're not trying too hard to get one, because the more you try to force it, it's just not going to come. And don't really have a preconceived idea of how it's going to happen. So,
I'd like to bounce something off of you, because this is something that I've been thinking about, and I think a lot of people get caught up on terminology and stuff like that, and people will say, my grandmother is my angel, or they'll say, my guardian angel or something like that. And I guess because of the way I kind of look at it, mostly from my studies in different areas of spirituality, I really think there is different places for different types of energies. And the way I kind of break it down is like this. I believe that when you're born, you come in with another soul that actually has more lifetimes of experience than you. I call that a guide. And I will also say that you can also have angels that work with you, but it's my understanding from all my studies that angels are actually a separate energy that was created by whatever you want to call it, God, the creator, mother, father, earth. That angels are actually a different type of energy than an actual soul, and that they have very different purposes and that they come in for different purposes. Do you believe that that you're actually born with a set of angels that stay with you, and that actually can be different than a quote-unquote guide?
I think we have both.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we can be as ignorant of our angels as we can of our guides, or some people look at the guides as the angels, which I'm not necessarily sure that that's true. I think we come in with angels, with guardian angels, that's specific for us. And then because the universe and because God so wants to communicate, we have multiple guides. Sometimes it is a loved one. When a loved one has gone on, they really have to go through kind of a training, because to make sure that they're, because they had a soul, angels have never been on the earth except some of the archangels came down for a very specific reason, except Metatron and Sandalphon, who were human at one time. But for the most part, the archangels and the angels have never been human, so they don't have a soul, per se.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because they were
sense.
Created as angels, and they've never come into a human body. So they don't have souls, per se. But they are certainly, we do have power, and we all have a power animal or animals just as much as we have guardian angels.
But I
go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, so what I was going to say is, what I don't believe in is, I think a lot of people are like, oh, my grandmother's returned as my angel. And I'd say, well, I think if they were a very advanced soul, it's a possibility they could come down and become almost like a guardian kind of soul guide. But even guides, I think, if you want to get really picky about the spiritual hierarchy behind the scenes, I would say they have very specific training before they become guides.
Correct.
Not to say that you can't have an ancestor such as your grandmother or an uncle or something, but you know what I used to learn from doing mediumship and working with people like John Holland is that, you know, as John Holland would joke around and say, you know, if Uncle Charlie was bad at finances and he's coming in as your guide, you probably don't want to be asking him financial advice. So, you know, just because they pass over doesn't mean they all of a sudden become these totally enlightened beings.
That
so,
is correct. You are exactly
yeah.
right. But
yeah.
they can go through, if they choose to, they can go through, like you were saying, just for a terminology, an angel school or a guide school, so that they can move us toward being the best we can be and giving us the guidance that we need, that we're seeking.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to a real quick break, and then when we come back, I actually have something I want to ask you to kind of explain to the listeners, which I think would be really neat. So everybody, you've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio, and of course this is Dr. Connie with In the Arms of the Angels. And if you want to find out more about this radio show and other radio shows that are on Spiritual Connections Radio, you can go to our website, which is www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And with that, Dr. Connie, can you give out your website?
Absolutely, www.drconniesays.com.
Excellent. So the exercise I was thinking about is, and I'll play the beginner here and ask you the question. You know, Dr. Connie, you know, I've never worked with angels before, and I feel like there's an angel that's close to me, and I'd like to start to establish a relationship with what is probably one of those guardian angels that's been with me since I was a child. So how can I initiate that first connection of communicating and asking for validation or asking for some signs from my angel?
Well, in a way you just did.
Mm-hmm.
Because all we have to do is ask. But again, let's pretend that you and I are going to date, okay? And in order for me to get to know you, then I have to observe what you do or kind of listen to what you like, and I need to pay attention to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I'm paying attention and the more that I pick up, and the more questions that I ask, then I'm able to establish a relationship with you. But I was able to do that because I really paid attention to you. And it's the same thing. If I'm wanting to make a relationship with my guardian angel, then I need to devote time to that relationship. So So as I'm running out the door, late for work, grabbing my keys, trying to put my shoe on before the door shuts, but then I only have one shoe, I can't be saying, okay, I really want to know a lot about you. Okay, let's make this happen as I'm racing to work.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I get to find a way to meditate that works for me. Now, for some people, that's going to be sitting in a chair and just going into a relaxed state and getting there. For other people, they may like to walk or, you know, do something else. But some way of being able to channel my attention so that I am setting aside time to get to know my angel. And as I ask questions and as I become aware of, am I hearing it? Is there a feeling? Am I having thoughts? Am I do I get a physical sensation? Am I seeing things? And as I do that, if I'm seeing coins or I'm getting sparkles in my peripheral vision or whatever it is, then I get to go with that. Just like if I were dating you and you said something, then I would go with that and work with something to get to know you better. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. So I guess the next question is, okay, so now I have that established relationship. I know for me, the angels work with me quite a bit when I do a lot of healing work or if I'm doing prayer work for somebody or something like that. But if you talk about, you know, the usage or the common usage of angels as far as the average business person or non-spiritual person out there or, you know, something along those lines, a non-healer, what would be some of the aspects on where you could use angels in your daily life? Could you use them for guidance like you would with a soul guide? I mean, with a guide?
The angels are a conduit from God to move us toward being the best we can be. So some of the work with a layman that wouldn't have anything to do with healing, for example, might be giving to charity. It could be forgiving somebody. It could be Archangel Michael could be working to have them giving them messages to go to school and learn a career that's really their divine calling. So the angels are a way of being, the angels are a way of being a GPS for us to get us to the point of being the very best we can be. And for me to do that or for you to do that, I'm going to have to change certain behaviors or take on something new or do something different in order to get to that point of bettering myself. And that's what the angels help us do, as well as comfort us and guide us and be there for us, you know, to love us.
Okay.
Did that answer the question?
Oh, yeah. Yes, it definitely did. Thank you.
Okay. And the angels, because, you know, God created us to be, to have a love relationship with Him. And because the angels are extensions of God, the angels want to have a love relationship with us. So sometimes the angels just want to hang out with us and just be part of our life and be included in the things that we do. So it doesn't have to be anything dramatic. It could just be enjoying a beautiful day like we had today.
So can you share with us a story? And I think, you know, we kind of did something like this a couple weeks ago. Can you share with us a story of the angels coming in and working with you with one of your patients?
Yeah, one of the, again, I don't really see the angels so much as get a sense of them. And there have been times when I have seen someone standing behind a client. And I had a client that was actually in a long-term hospital and had been diagnosed with cancer and was going through all sorts of stuff. And this individual that I could see standing behind him was a family member that had passed on. But knowing that this individual was there brought him a lot of peace. And right after that happened, then he kept asking, because it was very important for this individual to maintain contact with this deceased loved one. So, again, going back to our loved ones being our guides, that sometimes our loved ones just want to step in to just to offer some love and support without being a ginormous guide. But just because we need something extra, because we're going through something pretty hard. I actually was with a friend of mine, and we were going through a training, and it was pretty difficult for this individual. And I said, you know, I'm really getting the sense that your grandmother's here. And I started describing this essence that I was experiencing. And he said, yeah, that's my grandmother. So every once in a while, our loved ones, I think they hover around us a lot. But the angels have been kind enough to let me see the loved ones from time to time, which has been a tremendous help for people. Most of my dealings with angels are pretty subtle. I think that it will, as I grow, my encounters with them will also become bigger. But the beauty that they, and the introduction that they give to people. Because I remember I was meditating, and it was Archangel Raphael, and I asked for a sign, and all of a sudden I had my eyes closed, and all of a sudden it got so bright that it was, I had to open my eyes just to get away from how bright it was. And I knew it was just infinitesimal of the brightness that the angels really are. So anyone that's interested in becoming aware of the angels are very subtle and very gentle and are not going to drop down in all their glory in your bedroom, you know, with wings touching both walls of the room and scare the bejesus out of you. And I think, Mark, even you alluded to it, that as you grew and as you did, certain things and other things were added. So people shouldn't be afraid to...
Yeah, It's actually really interesting because, and I'll do this in the aspects of, you know, I used to do quite a bit of mediumship, which is communicating with people who have passed over. And, you know, even with the fact that I understand so much about the spiritual aspects of things, and even though I've communicated with people that have passed over, you know, there's a few times I've been in some dark rooms, and, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you might not be afraid of a snake, but if you're hiking one day and you go to take a step and one runs right underneath your feet, it kind of freaks you out. I find the same thing with mediumship, and that was, you know, even though I communicate with people who have passed over, when all of a sudden I have a spirit show up out of the blue, it does kind of surprise you because you're not really expecting it. And there was something like that that occurred. I'll share a story with you really quickly. I was doing mediumship training with John Holland up in Maine with a number of mediums, some of them really good friends to this day. And I remember two of them in the room celebrating a birthday, and they said, both of them, of course, mediums, and they said they got scared because a little girl ghost or an energy that hadn't passed over had actually run through the room and hit the bureau and made it rock a little bit and actually scared both of them. And I thought that was really funny because even though you can be spiritually enlightened, sometimes the spiritual stuff can kind of catch you off guard.
That's true. But when you're first starting out, at least for me, I have found it to be very gentle and very, very something I could manage, and it was very doable. So I know some people are afraid of the unknown or the majesty or, you know, what's going to happen or whatever. And it's really nothing to be afraid of. That the way that they communicate is going to be a way that fits with you personally. That's why there's multiple ways that they communicate with you. So it can really be a beautiful, gentle thing. Mm-hmm. Unless you need a wake up call, then it maybe won't be so gentle. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to say that most of my experiences, like you said, with angels have been very gentle, and you know, they're not looking to scare you, that's for sure. So the next question I have for you is, you know, because I know you do a lot of coaching, as I call it, with angels, and you do readings for people and stuff like that. I know you've worked some pretty big events around the country. What would you say is the top three questions, you know, if you were to think of like 1,000 readings that you've done, what would you say the top three questions are that most people ask?
Relationships, money, and job.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess that's the same as any other type of coaching. Or
yep.
Yeah.
Yep. The big three. And it's very interesting when I do a reading that a lot of the time it is so not what they want to hear because the angels and God are always moving us toward being the best we can be. Sometimes the readings have more to do with changing this behavior or realizing the anxiety or the depression or the blocks that stand in the way between me and getting what I want. Because what we want is for the job, the money, or the person just to be there. But the angels help us move the obstacles that stand between us and what it is we're seeking, because God said he'd give us the desires of our heart. So it doesn't matter to God whether we're married or rich or poor or whatever. God said if you want it, you have it. But are you willing to do the work to remove the blocks that keep you from getting there? So a lot of my readings have to do with concentrating first on cleaning something up before you get to the next step of there's the desired object.
And with that, I actually have someone on the line that would like a reading. Can I go ahead and patch them through?
Oh, absolutely. Hello?
Okay,
hello,
you're on
with
Dr. Connie.
Hello, Dr. Connie. My name is Ellen. I've been listening and I enjoyed your show.
Thanks, Ellen. Thank you so much. How can I be of service to you?
Oh, I would just like a message from my angels or guides.
Okay. Like any kind of message?
Whatever they want to tell me is probably something I need to hear.
Okay. Then I have you on speakerphone, so please bear with me with as I shuffle the cards. Now, I have to tell you, Ellen, the last person that asked me to do something like this, just this general question, ended up hearing, because they actually had an addiction problem, and the angels were all ready to tell this individual that they needed to really work on their addiction, which was not really what this individual wanted to hear. So sometimes we open a can of worms when we say, okay, whatever the angels want, because the angels will take us at our word. So let me get, I actually have two decks that I'm working off of so that I get a very broad reading for you. Where are you calling from?
New York.
From New York? Whereabouts in New York?
The Bronx.
Oh, the Bronx. Okay. I used to work in the Bronx.
Oh, where?
I worked over by the Botanical Gardens, and I worked down by Fordham University.
Oh, okay. So, I go to the Botanical Gardens often. I know the area.
All righty. Let me get another. There's evidently some fear going on with you, or something that you're attached to that's not working for you right now. Because you're being asked to let go of any fear that you're holding. And one thing that Archangel Michael does, and we really haven't spoken too much about what the angels do in detail, but I'm going to do that on a later show. We have, whenever we're in a fearful relationship or there's a relationship that's generating fear to someone, we have cords. And the cords are like hollow tubes, and they come, they're kind of in your abdomen area, and they're just attached to you, to this individual. And what Archangel Michael is asking you to do is cut these cords. So I don't know if this is new news to you or if there's an individual out there that you have a relationship that it you need to release the fear from it.
I'm wondering if you can give me further insight into it because I'm having problems placing it. It may be something old, and I just haven't thought about it in a while, but it's still there.
Well, any time that we have cords, unless Archangel Michael cuts them, they're going to remain. They don't dissolve. So it could be something that is getting ready to rear its ugly head or something. I was just talking to Mark a few minutes ago about the stumbling blocks that keep us from moving forward.
Yeah.
So it could be if I've had a relationship that hasn't been resolved at some level, that could end up being a stumbling block for me in moving on or in future relationships. Because
okay,
there is evidently something that you're moving toward because Michael's asking you to keep your eyes open on what it is you want to do and make a commitment toward that.
Okay.
Does that ring true for you at all?
There are lots of things I want to do, and I can imagine he's asking me to focus either on a personal situation or where I wanted to go with my career. I'm not sure, but either way, I guess it's good advice. Just make sure I focus to get things done.
Well, not only keep your teeth focused, but make a commitment. So it's drawing the line in the sand kind of thing. And I have decided that I'm going to whatever that is, and then really making the concrete steps to move toward that.
Okay.
So it's a little bit different than, gee, I want to open a flower shop. Yeah, let me think about that. Then you know what? I'm going to have a flower shop, and I'm going to open it by this day on this year.
Yeah.
You see the difference?
Oh, definitely.
And while you're doing that, only go for the, there's a way that you're going to do this, whatever this is. There's a way that you will go toward what it is you want that is only going to be personal to you. So there's a way you're going to do it, and it feels good for you, and it fits in your value system, which may not be the same for everybody, but it fits for you. So it's finding your own path in making the stand that you want to make and moving toward what it is you want to make with very committed steps and letting go of things that have held you back in the past, so that you're free to move forward.
Could I ask whether or not this is concerning a career matter or a career change I wanted to make?
What is it that Archangel Michael is the angel that you call on when you're looking at your life purpose?
Yes.
So you are probably talking about what it is you want to do, not so much for a career, but actually for your life purpose.
I consider them the same. I know.
Okay.
Many people won't, but
some people really don't. So whatever that thing is, whatever you're feeling like you're moving toward, if it brings you a feeling of excitement, if it brings you a feeling of, you know, that this is really the thing to do, then you know that you're on the right path.
Okay.
So, again, you get to not only stay focused on it, but really make a commitment toward it in a way that works for you.
Okay. Wow. I have to say thank you, Dr. Connie.
Well, you're very welcome. My pleasure.
Okay. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
All right. And we're just wrapping up the end of the show. And sounds like another great show. So thank you for being on. And we'll just close it up with some information. You've been listening to In the Arms of the Angels with Dr. Connie on Spiritual Connections Radio. Go ahead and give out your website again.
www.drconniesays.com.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Connie. And we'll hear you on the radio show same time every week. That's every Thursday from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if anybody wants, you can always go to the Blog Talk link for Spiritual Connections Radio and go back and listen to any of the shows. They are available as replays, and you can also download them to your iPod and iTunes and everything else. So thank you and have a great evening.